Welcome to IRG's Sports Medicine Update. I'm Tom Huttler, along with Shannon O'Kelly, physical therapist and president of Integrated Rehabilitation Group, and our guest, Dr. Ren McAllister, orthopedic surgeon from Edmonds Orthopedic Center. Dr. Ren McAllister is a board-certified, fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon specializing in care of the hand and upper extremity. Dr. McAllister has authored over 80 scientific works with a focus on care of the hand and upper extremities. He has been the recipient of multiple nationally competitive research awards and research grants, and he has lectured regionally and nationally on conditions of the hand and upper extremity.
Dr. McAllister, thank you for joining us. The hand is your area of expertise, and we want to talk about carpal tunnel syndrome today, so set it up, talk to us about what it is and how people might get it.
Shannon, thanks for having me here. Well, carpal tunnel syndrome is a name given to the collection of signs and symptoms that result when the median nerve is under too much pressure within the carpal tunnel. This is located at the level of the wrist.
And you talk about a median nerve. For those people listening out there, what kind of nerves are going in the hand, and why is the median nerve so important?
The median nerve is one of three major nerves that supply the hand with sensation and motor function. The median nerve enters the hand through an anatomical space that we call the carpal tunnel. It has a floor and sidewalls made of bone, and the roof is made up of a ligament called the transverse carpal ligament. This is located at the base of the hand where the hand meets the wrist.
So I'm just thinking about this median nerve and this tunnel that you're describing this nerve runs through. And are you describing like that tunnel becomes compressed or the space is occupied by inflammation and that nerve gets compressed and you have symptoms?
The space is a defined space. It doesn't really change size, but it's the structures that go through it that end up causing pressure, whether it's something outside the nerve, pushing on the nerve, whether it's another muscle, a mass, a bony overgrowth, whether it's something within the nerve that causes swelling, or if it's just the result of certain motions repeated over and over that lead to thickening and scarring of the nerve. Somehow, the pressure is too high in the carpal tunnel for the median nerve and it begins to restrict the blood flow to the nerve.
That's interesting. So when this nerve becomes compressed, I mean, you're going to have some type of symptoms based on this compression. What are those symptoms, I guess?
Absolutely. When the nerve first becomes pinched, if you will, the initial result is tingling and pain in the hand and fingers. This often occurs at night and occurs in a predictable pattern along the distribution of the median nerve. As the condition progresses, weakness can develop, muscles can start to atrophy, and this leads to difficulty with handling small objects and even with grip strength.
And how is this diagnosed? What is the best way to diagnose? Because there's a lot of people out there working on computers and doing repetitive activity with their hands and wrist. What is the diagnostic process?
Well, the hallmark of carpal tunnel syndrome is numbness and tingling in the hand and fingers. And as we mentioned earlier, this follows a pattern of median nerve innervation. What this means is the median nerve supplies the thumb, the index, the middle, and the thumb half of the ring finger. The small finger and the small finger side of the ring finger get their nerve supply from the ulnar nerve, which is one of the other three nerves that supplies the hand. So classically, the first thing that people will have is numbness or tingling in those fingers. Oftentimes they'll shake their hand and they'll find when they do activities such as drive a car, talk on the phone, or read a book, their hand begins to fall asleep.
Is this usually with activity or even at rest?
As the condition progresses, it can be at rest, but it usually begins with activity and after some period of time after performing an activity.
Also joining us today, by the way, is Tony Dow, who's an occupational therapist and a certified hand therapist who also has some questions for Dr. McAllister.
Dr. McAllister, how is carpal tunnel syndrome treated?
Well, the initial treatment's relatively straightforward. First, any aggravating activities are modified to reduce the frequency of symptoms. Next, the next simplest thing that can be done is a splint can be worn at night. This can be purchased at a drugstore. It's a simple wrist splint that has a little metal bar on the bottom side or the palm side. That bar should be bent so your wrist is flat, not bent backwards or bent down. And that's a good first step to take in treating carpal tunnel syndrome. Also, anti-inflammatory medicines can be helpful to try to reduce any inflammation.
What else can be helpful in treating carpal tunnel syndrome?
Well, the final thing that I think is important in the early treatment of carpal tunnel syndrome are nerve guide exercises that promote the health of the median nerve and increase blood flow. And I find the most benefit when I send patients to a certified hand therapist for instruction in these exercises. The benefit in my mind of working with a therapist is a comprehensive evaluation of how you use your upper extremities, which it really begins at the neck, and it's often how you hold and use your upper extremities can put undue stress and sometimes lead to symptoms or create situations in which you're more likely to develop pressure on the median nerve. Many of my patients also find relief not only from the carpal tunnel syndrome symptoms, but also from other aches and pains in their upper extremity when they have a thorough evaluation.
What if these steps don't help?
Well, despite these efforts, sometimes the condition continues to progress, and there's a point at which pressure on the nerve can cause damage that cannot be reversed even with surgery. If the symptoms don't improve with these initial non-operative steps, then a discussion is begun about surgery to release the pressure on the median nerve.
Well, Dr. McAllister, we've tried some conservative approach here. If that doesn't work, what about surgery?
When we get to the point of talking about surgery, the fundamental principle is relatively straightforward. We simply want to divide the transverse carpal ligament. This increases the volume in the carpal tunnel by about 40% and takes the pressure off the median nerve. As a result, symptoms resolve and the condition goes away.
So you're basically decompressing that nerve. And what happens after surgery? Do these people return to normal function without symptoms?
After surgery, most of my patients will tell me that the tingling goes away immediately. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to go away. But in general, when the pressure comes off the nerve, it gets a chance to re-equilibrate and it should restore itself. Depending upon the severity of the condition, there are times you release the pressure on the nerve and nothing seems to change. But most of the time, we would expect the tingling would resolve and over time, the nerve would begin to, in essence, regenerate itself, if you will, and they would begin to recover function.
Dr. McAllister, what is the process after surgery?
Immediately after surgery, there's a small dressing on for 3 days, and after that, you put a Band-Aid over a wound. A week later, a suture comes out, and you can pretty much use your hand immediately for anything you want after surgery, though I'll caution folks to limit heavy lifting gripping for about 4 to 6 weeks. After surgery, there's a characteristic discomfort that we call pillar pain, and the muscles of the thumb and the small finger take origin, or they begin at the transverse carpal ligament, and that's what gets divided. So it takes some time for that to heal. It's something that we absolutely know about. Patients experience to a varying degree. Most studies would show that grip strength will equal the other unaffected hand by 3 months and continue to improve up to a year. The nice thing to know is that the pillar pain will generally resolve itself, and it's somewhat reassuring, but it can take sometimes 4 to 6 months.
Dr. McAllister, what about therapy post-surgery?
Well, I do have patients work briefly with a hand therapist after surgery for two main reasons. First, it's important, I think, that they understand and learn proper scar massage, especially in this area where the incision is made. This can improve healing after surgery. Second, I think it's important that they demonstrate proficiency with the nerve glide exercises, and I believe this helps prevent carpal tunnel syndrome from coming back after surgery. When carpal tunnel syndrome does come back, it's usually due to scarring around the nerve, and the more that folks can do to promote nerve gliding and prevent that scarring from happening, it would make sense that they'd have a less chance of this recurring.
So Tony Dow is with us. He's a certified hand therapist. Tony, what type of stuff would you do based on a post-surgical patient?
Well, as Dr. McAllister was saying, we instruct patients in nerve glides to prevent scarring around the nerve and also home exercises such as tendon glides. We also instruct them on how to prevent future symptoms from happening.
Thanks, Tony. Dr. McAllister, back to you. What should people do if they think they might have carpal tunnel syndrome?
Well, the very first thing someone can do is simply get a splint at a drugstore and put it on at night to keep the wrist flat and begin by taking pressure off the nerve and trying a little anti-inflammatory medicine if they're able to take it. The next step, however, is not to ignore the symptoms. As we discussed, the longer you wait to start treating this, the harder it can be to treat it non-operatively. And sometimes many patients will say, oh, this has been going on for a number of years. I finally decided to talk about it. And when they do, they're to the point where we end up talking more about surgery than other non-operative treatments. So the initial step is not to ignore it, and then to begin getting some information about it. And because carpal tunnel syndrome is a clinical diagnosis and there are many other potential causes and other confounding conditions, it's important that you discuss this with your doctors familiar with the condition so they can take an appropriate history and make an accurate diagnosis.
This has been great information. Thanks, Dr. McAllister, and thanks, Tony, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
If you would like more information on this topic, as well as how to contact Dr. Ren McAllister, go to irgpt.com and click on the Health Media tab or go to Integrated Rehabilitation Group's Facebook page.